So when we talk of listening, now they're saying, how do we actually absorb somebody's facial expressions? Absorb, that means it kind of stays in the mind if someone has suddenly frowned, right? So facial expressions, gestures, and posture are an important, or my mistake, facial expressions, gestures, and posture are important carriers of meaning. Over enthusiasm or excitement can be seen in a person's face and gestures. Posture shows level of interest in a person. Sorry, posture shows the level of interest a person feels in the current activity. Lack of eye contact, looking away, and turning the corners of the mouth downwards all show that the speaker is unhappy. To be a good listener, you have to be aware of your own body language also. Your body language can affect the speaker. See, from the sender's point of view, any facial expressions or simple example that the sender is suddenly looking at you and making big eyes. So these are all hints and cues. Now, what is important from the listener's point of view? That the listener shows constant interest and enthusiasm to what is told. The listener shows active involvement in terms of what is conveyed for information. The listener shows interest by nodding of the head. But at the same time, if the listener is dreaming, if the listener just looks down, if the listener does not show any kind of enthusiasm on the face, then it will not serve the purpose. So, lack of eye contact, looking away, and turning the corners of the mouth downward will show that the speaker is unhappy. So, definitely, the speaker also needs to show that kind of enthusiasm while talking, and the listener also should be able to convey a lot through the non-verbal expressions. So, if the listener suddenly does, so it means the listener is shocked with what the speaker has said. Right? If the listener suddenly does this, now this could mean you're not feeling fine, but it could also mean is the listener thinking of what is just told possible? No? Remember, you can stay silent, but you can hardly disguise your body language. That is why it is said that very often what you don't want to communicate also comes through your facial expressions. Right? So even if you're in silence, a lot is conveyed through facial expressions, posture, behavior. Observe, listen, ask. Summarize what you understood and check with the speaker. Summarizing is helpful, especially if you've had a misunderstanding and are unsure of expectations or have just reached an agreement. Ensure that everyone is coming away with the same idea. So definitely, when I talk of listening as an activity, and if I say ensure that everyone has come with the same idea, that means my information is conveyed in such a manner that all have been actually assumed that the information that is put forward is, of course, correct, which it needs to be, but is information that they feel has really served the purpose. In case you miss something, it is likely that it could be the case with other listeners too. All of you get a chance to clear your understanding when the speaker comments on your summary. Now, when you summarize, then the speaker becomes the listener. So you summarize. So at that time, I become the listener. When I listen to you, I'm not only listening to your words, I'm also listening to your nonverbal communication. That is going to give me a lot of hints, cues as to what exactly you are thinking and feeling and thus saying. So that is something that needs to be understood. So we must be aware of the speaker, aware of verbal and nonverbal cues, and aware of our own listening strengths and challenges. Now we talk of causes of poor listening. Listening may be affected by various activities that obstruct the flow of information. barriers such as distractions, emotions, preconceived notions, stress, anxiety, and poor health may lead to one not being focused. If someone at home has not been well since the last 1 month, so your mind gets distracted because your attention is all there, though you're listening to what the director of your organization has to say, because there has been a meeting as to how to achieve the targets. So you get more emotional. So your thoughts are not really in a rational direction. Preconceived notions, that is what a lot of people have, and due to which individuals are not active listeners. We've discussed preconceived notions before, so I'm not repeating. Stress, anxiousness, poor health, right? If you're not feeling well at all, so poor health, then all these aspects will impact you. So, you know, these are barriers to communication. And because of these barriers, what happens is that you will feel that your thoughts are going in various directions. So lack of concentration or decrease in concentration due to various psychological situations and lack of interest. See, when there's lack of concentration, what happens is that you're not putting in your full thought process towards what is being communicated. And you're not putting in your full thought process because somewhere you are feeling very burdened and stressed out at this juncture. So you have to remind yourself every time that this is a present moment. Right now I'm here. Let me focus. You have to tell yourself this. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to remind yourself, let me take interest. Let me listen. You have to do it. If not for anybody else, for your own self. Listeners need to be able to identify the information heard so that they can interpret social cues and prioritize what they hear. You may be given a list of instructions, but prioritize that this is what is important, this is what needs to be done. You may have a whole lot of information given to you. Again, prioritize what needs to be looked into and what should be done. Content is the information that is expressed, and style is the way the information is presented. When I say style is the way the information is presented, that means how is that information put forward? See, content is what? The information. Style is the way that information is put forward. Next is poor judgment. Listeners often have their own biases, own concepts and beliefs, and they overlook certain aspects of conversation. Their own biases, own concepts. My concepts and your concepts don't match. As simple as that. I find Megan a very dominating personality. You find Megan a personality who's very assertive. Our thoughts don't match. We don't agree to each other. I feel Megan is ideally not really cooperating. And you feel, you believe that Megan cooperates. So we have differences. So when Megan talks, I am very judgmental towards the behavior. I don't listen. I have my own concepts and thoughts about her. But you actually listen to all what she says. So when we say there is a tendency to overlook certain parts of the conversation, that could happen to me because I feel Megan is, I can't handle her dominating and rigid behavior. That's why. So summarizing is often helpful, especially if you have had a misunderstanding and you are unsure of expectations or have reached an agreement. But then too, I do not want my work to suffer. So at the end of it, I summarize. And Megan actually listens to me when I summarize. So if I've missed out on anything, Megan will guide me. Ensure that everyone is coming away with the same idea. At the end of the conversation, we all have to be on the same page. We must be aware of the speaker's verbal and non-verbal cues and aware of our own listening strengths and challenges. Now we talk of the listening stats. People-oriented listeners, they pay attention to the personal details of the speaker and not to the speaker's actual message. People-oriented listeners are considered to be supporters. They're empathetic and show sensitivity towards others. People-oriented listeners, they are actually pro the people speaking. When I say they're actually pro to what is said by the speakers, that means they are 100% with what the speaker says. They are for the speaker. That's why they're saying they're empathetic, they show sensitivity, they support whatever they're saying. So they believe everything what they say. That's why it said they're people-oriented listeners. Next is action-oriented listeners. Whenever they receive instructions, they focus on what do I do next? When is my deadline? This type of listening is more task-oriented, and these type of listeners appreciate error-free, structured and systematic messages. Action-oriented listeners, they will immediately take on to the task that is given to them. How do I go about this task? When is the deadline? What needs to be looked into? These were the instructions given. This is how I need to go about it. So when instructions are given to them, they expect the instructions in a systematic and structured manner. Because the instructions are in a systematic and structured manner, they are able to take the instructions which will help them move forward and achieve. Their focus is what? I have to achieve this. And this is my path. How do I achieve it? I've got the instructions. How do I go about it? Content oriented, as the word suggests, the content, the information. So they focus on the content or information, but without being judgmental. So when you have lawyers and judges, they're listening. Of course, eventually the judge has to give a judgment after analyzing all the details, after all the situation that is explained by the respective lawyers. But they will listen to all the information. That's why they're called content-oriented listeners. Their prime focus is to listen to the information given. And only after they listen to all the information given that is complete information, only then they can come up with any sort of judgment. Now, when will they come up with a judgment? After all the information that is given, they will evaluate it and analyze it. And only then will they form a judgment. That means they're very sensible, rational people. Because when you form a judgment, it is based on what information you have. So they are sensible. They're logical people. They ideally do not focus on emotions. They focus on the content and information. And then they move forward. The only concern can be if there is time constraint, then content listening can be a problem. Thus, they like to hear multiple perspectives on any issue. When we say multiple perspectives, like how a judge listens to lawyers from both sides, and each lawyer will give so many points, so multiple perspectives, which will help them move forward. Then we talk of task or time-oriented listeners. Task-oriented listeners, they focus on timeliness, and they want the discussion and the conversation to come to an end as soon as possible. These listeners may cut people off and make quick decisions. When I say these listeners may cut people off and make quick decisions, what does it mean? They want the discussion to come to an end. Why? Because, see, as the word suggests, task. They want a particular task to be completed within the span of time. So, when you want a particular task to be completed within that span of time, then what is important? That you focus on timeliness. So, for example, when a senior executive says, sure, we can discuss this, but I have only a few minutes. So they are running out of time. They're constantly busy. Now, you might want to discuss something for the next 20 minutes, but they might have only 10 minutes. So what is important for you at that juncture? That you are ready with information which is very concise and apt, APT, to the point. Then it'll serve the purpose. Such listeners only focus on facts. They are likely to be more efficient since they're concerned with completion of tasks and achievement of goals. So when I say such listeners only focus on facts, because they have limited time, so they want to focus only on facts. Why? Because within that time, whatever is heard, they take decisions. They are more concerned that the task has to get done anyhow and the goal needs to be achieved. Strategies to overcome barriers to active listening. Firstly, avoid distractions. One barrier to effective listening can be distractions. What do distractions do? They do not let us focus, and very often this leads to loss of concentration. When I say distractions lead to loss of concentration, what does it mean? Somewhere you are not focused. You may be distracted due to various reasons. But when you're not focused, then the first thing that gets impacted is your listening ability. Internal distractions can divert your mental focus, such as boredom. So if you are in a meeting and the meeting has gone on for more than 1.5 hours, there's been no conclusion to that meeting. So you kind of feel bored. Someone else will feel that fatigue, which is feeling tired. And then you have your own thoughts, which ideally can, seem to be a problem. For example, your boss insulted you last time in a meeting in front of everybody, and that was more than 3 months back. But that has yet stayed on your mind, and somewhere you have that fear that what if he or she says something? Well, choose your words carefully while you're talking to him in front of everybody. Be alert and aware. Be more of a responsible listener. Learn to be more proactive with what is happening. Because if you hang on to that fear, then how will you even be an active listener? Your listening ability will also reduce if you hang on to that fear. So you have to learn to change yourself. External distractions can be, for example, noise. Does not let one engage in active listening. Right? So right now, this lecture is going on. And imagine if there's a lot of noise outside, then it'll somewhere bother me, right? So it's very important that the environment is also such that everything is appropriate. If the lights are too bright, then again, I will lose my focus. So everything is so appropriate with the lighting. Everything is so appropriate outside. There's no noise, right? So all these aspects impact our listening skills. Thus, it is very necessary to create an environment conducive for listening as an activity. Strategies to overcome barriers to active listening. The third point, being open-minded. An active listener is one who reflects on what the speaker says. And it is very important to keep your prejudices and biases aside. I've discussed this with you that I learn to handle my biases. In order to be open-minded, one has to set aside the assumptions and be alert to listen. My assumptions, it is best I keep to myself. The moment my assumptions start interfering with my work and my behavior, trust me, it's not going to be worth it. So it's very important you take care of your assumptions, because your assumptions can be the biggest distractions. Your assumptions will not let you listen actively. So be careful. Distractions do not let us focus, and very often it leads to loss of concentration. Giving feedback is important from the speaker's point of view. One should listen without interruption and judgment, even if negative feedback is given. Negative feedback, you need to accept it. Negative feedback, the way it is said and the way you hear it, the way you listen to it, that can impact you. So again, I would suggest that take negative feedback in a manner whereby you only look for solutions. Don't take it in a manner where you're collecting that feedback and it is stuck here and it is bothering you. It is making you feel angry and irritated. Next is summarizing and review. One needs to pay attention to the main points and one needs to process the information in a systematic and structured manner. Listening is a process that requires practice. If you feel that it is your nature where you can't listen to somebody, it is your nature that you want to keep interrupting, then start self-talk. Tell yourself, just wait, keep quiet, be an active listener, focus on what is said, don't speak till asked. Do that self-talk. That'll help you. And ask your closest people to guide you. So if you interrupt somebody, your closest people can tell you, listen, you're interrupting. Listen, you're talking in between while I'm talking. Listen, this is not appreciated. Tell your closest people to guide you. So it is important to create an ideal environment to be an active listener. Thus, it is important to enhance our listening skills, which will lead to better teamwork, collaboration and higher employee engagement. You know, research also says that if you're not really listened to, then you start doubting your own competencies, you start doubting your own skills because you feel that you're not worthy of being listened to. So you start gauging yourself from the other person's perspective. So it is better that you change your behavior and focus on active listening. Reacting to red flag words. Words can provoke a reaction in the listener that was not necessarily what the speaker intended. When that happens, the listener will not be able to hear or pay full attention to what the speaker is saying. So just for example, in front of three people, a very senior person says, "You're such a dumb person." So that word dumb pinches you. You feel humiliated in front of all. What do red flag words do? They trigger an unexpectedly strong association in the listener's mind. Red flag words create that kind of emotion. You will feel, oh my gosh, he called me dumb in front of everybody. You will feel that pain. You will somewhere feel insulted. You will feel that he or she is not showing you respect and just saying anything that comes to their mind. Now, this kind of an experience will make the listener feel or give the listener that sense of, you know, aloofness. This kind of behavior will make the listener feel he or she is not valued. This kind of behavior can make the listener move away and be in isolation. That means not communicate much. Because that person will start feeling very low and not worthy. So it is very important that these kind of aspects you overlook. Even if you listen to it, just let it be a passing phase. Do not hang on to it. It'll not take you anywhere. It'll just worsen the situation. Learn to handle yourself. Don't gauge yourself just because one person has said something that just has humiliated you. Technology is often seen as a driver of improved communications, but technology in itself creates noise and discord as much as it melds minds. So technology definitely, you know, has brought about a shift in the way people communicate, how people are exposed to even social media today, how it has made this world a global village, how people are connected, how you can connect to anybody in any part of the world. That is what makes a difference. But little do we realize that different people in different parts of the world communicate in a different way. Non-verbal communication in different cultures means different. All these are aspects which we need to understand. So, conclusion. Thus, active listening requires you to concentrate and also lets the speaker complete the talk. Active listening techniques such as seeking clarifications, maintaining eye contact, showing enthusiasm through facial expressions and body language can help develop better relationships. So when I say active listening requires you to concentrate, we've discussed at the start, ability to be alert, aware in the present moment. Lastly, one needs to be careful and not interrupt by putting their own ideas and opinions about what is being said. The very fact that you have the patience to listen, not interfere and interrupt, that itself makes one feel that you have the ability to be an active listener. We are done with this chapter. Thank you.